Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, hi, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. We are live at Gillette Stadium here on a Patriots Monday. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. Following a loss by the Patriots at home to the LA Rams, 28-22 was the final score. And a lot's already been said about this game. We're going to be talking to Drake May here in about 12 minutes.
Ooh.
You get early Drake May today. We'll replay the interview in case you miss it. If you're, hustling around thinking, oh, God, you guys usually talk to him like at 5:55 or whatever it is. And it's all different times. But today it's going to be very early, and we will rerun it again in the 5 o'clock hour. We will speak with Jonathan Jones as well, who had a pretty up-and-down game himself. I don't hear anybody really complaining too much about the game that Drake May had, except for maybe that play at the end, which I know you have thoughts on, Andy. But let's go ahead and start with the guy you just heard talking there and a guy who was in this room earlier talking with Hillman and Coco and Chris Curtis and Wiggy. That is Jerod Mayo, who I feel like this game was a referendum of. There was a lot of things in this game that have been second-guessed. A lot of instances, a lot of decisions, a lot of game plan things that you sort of look at and wonder, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? Why did you end up punting here? Why did you punt inside your own 40? Why didn't you put Christian Gonzalez on Puka Nacua? Why didn't you do all sorts of different things? And I think just about every single one of those is pretty legit. I don't think that was a good game for Jerod Mayo yesterday. I don't think anybody believes that. DeMarcus Covington didn't cover himself in glory either, I wouldn't say, as the Rams pretty much got whatever they wanted for most of the game. Certainly after that first stand in the beginning, at the end, I thought the defense got a little bit better as the Patriots fought their way back into it. Oh, boy. And, essentially, I think that there is a... your computer fell down, right?
A laptop on the floor?
Essentially, I think there is a... there's a real issue here. And we've talked a lot about the supporting cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how it's just not up to snuff and how Drake May's been let down by the GM. And Elliot Wolf didn't put a good enough team around him. We've also talked about Alex Van Pelt. We talked a lot about him last week and about how Breer and Kern and others all reported, which Mayo denied, by the way, today, which we'll get into that as well, but how they're calling around and looking for help on how to develop their rookie quarterback. All of those things, I think, take a back seat today to Jerod Mayo and his, I don't know if plateauing is the right word, because plateauing implies that it goes up and then gets, right? Like, I'm not sure that it ever went up enough to plateau. I don't know exactly what to make of him and his in-game decisions, his game plans, his presence on the sideline, really anything other than the vibes. And I know we talked last week about the culture and all of that, and I do think that that's important, and I thought that it was building towards something. They won 2 out of 3 games. And by the way, losing by 1 score to a team like the Rams isn't the end of the world. I didn't think that was a terrible loss, but it was a winnable game. And once again, it seems like the coaching staff, in this particular case, the head coach and defensive coordinator, who Drake May doesn't even really report to. I mean, let's be honest here. Jerod Mayo's not running this offense. They let him down. They let the team down. And I don't really see them getting any better on a week-to-week basis. That's the biggest issue.
So I'm torn here because Jerod Mayo was brought in to be a culture setter. And I think one of the aspects of a strong football culture is you play hard for 60 minutes every week. And I think that culture has been set. We've talked a lot about it. Drake May and Jonathan Jones have agreed that this team, despite its record and despite a pretty dismal season, has been playing hard. And I thought we saw another game yesterday. They played hard.
Yep.
I actually left that game feeling positive because, you know, I was more negative about the matchup than most.
Yes.
I thought there
you
was
thought
a
they were going to get smoked. Yeah.
And I thought I was right when that strip sack touchdown in two plays happened. I was like, uh-oh, floodgates are opening. And it didn't. You had a chance to win that
football
game.
You were counting your money already, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you had a chance to win that football game. But then the rest of it is coaching isn't just rah-rah, shish-goomba, set a culture and, mm-hmm. you know, throw the ball out there and let – And the in-game coaching of Jerod Mayo, as he said, has been very much a work in progress. He's a rookie. He acknowledges that. He's done a million different things. Feels like almost every time it was wrong. I'm not sure he's had a real victory lap type of game. But I don't think it's just Jerod Mayo. The defensive side of the ball is one thing. We can get into adjustments, failure to adjustments, game planning. The offensive side of the ball, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ben McAdoo is a person.
Ben McAdoo is a person who is a real guy. I've seen him. He's got the haircut. Yeah, right.
Right? Offensive guy. Uh-huh. Evan Rothstein exists. Real person. I don't actually know what he looks like, but they tell me he exists, so I'm going to say he exists.
Yes.
And he looks at computers and charts, and he's the – I feel like those guys are letting Jerod Mayo down. I honestly do, because that's part of it. We saw it with Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. He sucked early at mm-hmm. in-game decisions. They immediately bring somebody in.
Yep.
Now, it didn't work out. He was canned. He moved on. The whole thing. But those guys bear some – burden here, too. Like, Drake May, we talk about the line and the complimentary cast and the receivers. Well, Jerod Mayo has people that are supposed to be helping him and advising him, and he has not done a good job in that area, so I also have to hold those assistants responsible in some way. He's the head coach. He takes the most blame, but Ernie Adams got a lot of credit around here for a lot
of
years.
He did.
Right? So Ernie Adams gets credit, then to me, Ben McAdoo and Evan Rothstein needs blame when we're questioning.
But we never blamed Ernie Adams.
No, and
right? Do we blame Ernie Adams
for
that?
No, because they didn't screw up a lot.
No, I mean, when they did, we didn't blame Ernie Adams, I guess is the point.
Ernie Adams wasn't advising a guy who'd been an NFL head coach for
a couple days,
a long time.
Right.
You know, like, Jerod Mayo, you knew what you had. You have to support him. So, I think I brought it up last week. If I'm the Crafts and I'm calling around looking to support anybody, it's not the quarterback, it's the head coach
yep.
who seems like he needs more help in these situations. And I go back to the simple factor. You're an all-pro middle linebacker. I would have thought, just sort of cliche style, you'd have a tough, physical, aggressive, emotional football team. And it's almost like he tries to go counter to that at all times.
Yep.
Not get caught up in the emotion. Not be overly aggressive. Not, you know, we're going to run it here, damn it, no matter what.
Not be overly aggressive.
Yeah, like, I don't know what he's doing.
He's more conservative than Mitch McConnell.
And isn't that weird for a middle linebacker?
Oh,
like,
definitely,
it's a guy
yeah.
that made his business, you know, banging heads.
Yep.
I know you're not supposed to say that anymore. And we compare him to Dan Campbell, mm-hmm. who is emotional and is aggressive and is, damn it, I'm going to go for it. And when we don't get this, I'll still go for it next time. I don't really know what Jerod Mayo's philosophical style is as a head coach. Right now, it seems don't lose, don't get blown out.
Yep.
Like prevent, he plays prevent defense and prevent offense.
He coaches scared.
Yeah.
He coaches scared.
It seems like
simple
it.
Simple as that, I think. I mean, I hate to say that about him, but like that's what it looks like. And I understand not wanting to get blown out. And I know that there's different levels of losing and things like that, but you're a 3-win team. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
This season's about development. This season's about trying stuff out, seeing what you have, right? Isn't that what we keep hearing? Well, it's not really about winning games. It's about seeing what you have on the roster and seeing what Drake May is and seeing this and seeing that. They're not seeing anything. They're punting inside the 40-yard line. Scared teams do that.
Yep.
Teams that are scared do that. I don't care that Sly was missing in the warm-ups. He's hit 60 yarders this year. Let him kick it. You know, like, come on, or go for it. I know it's 4th and 13, but whatever. Go for it. Who cares? You know, like, that's the thing. It's like, there's, and we'll get to all of the instances, and there were a lot of them,
yep.
where it seemed like Jerod Mayo went with the conservative approach, and it ended up costing him. I think it cost him at least, you know, 10, 12 points in this game. We're going to take a quick break here because Drake May is going to be joining us early in the show, as I mentioned before. Here's Stiz with what's trending and the quarterback of the Patriots, Drake May.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joins us next. Drake May connecting with Kendrick Bourne. The first Patriots touchdown of the game, the first touchdown period of the game, came in the first quarter, broke the scoring, was the only score in the entire first quarter. And then the second quarter started, and things kind of got off the rails there a little bit. Some turnovers again for May this week. However, it was, I think, his best game. I know you think it was his best game so far. It wasn't a perfect game. He hasn't played a perfect game yet, or even one of those, oh my God, wow kind of get. Like, right, we're still sort of waiting for that one, aren't we? Aren't we waiting for that with him? I wouldn't call that what we saw yesterday one of those oh my God kind of games, but it was a solid game. It was a solid performance.
I thought we were off to the start for potentially one of those wow games.
He was
borderline perfect early.
Yeah.
Other than the slant to Booty that he dropped, and then that deep ball that Booty, I thought, continues to not be aggressive enough to go after the football. Other than that, his accuracy in the beginning portions of that game was phenomenal.
It was. It was very good. And it was something that jumped out to me in particular because I would criticizing him for his short passes and sort of seeing the ball and seeing the receivers in the short field, putting the touch on it. I know he whipped that one to Booty, so maybe that's not a great example. But in general, I thought he was very accurate.
Catch the ball.
Sure, and he should have caught it, of course. But in general, I thought he was accurate. I thought he had good touch on the ball, and I thought that he was doing a good job of sort of spreading it around. There's something to be said about the conservative play calls when they get into the red zone or the red area or when they just cross the 50. I think that there was a lot of instances where if you gave Drake May some truth serum, and we'll be speaking to him here shortly, he's supposed to be coming in any minute now, but if you gave him some truth serum, he'd probably say, hey, you know what, yeah, I would have liked to have taken a shot there. You can tell he likes taking shots. You can tell at the end of these games he likes taking these shots. He likes going deep. He likes going down the field, sometimes to, disadvantage when the receivers aren't on the same page as him or aren't able to make a play to try and break it up. But he'll take those shots. You can tell it's something that he's got in his repertoire. And I think in general, that was the type of game that is going to keep his trajectory going up. I don't think that it's peaked or anything. And I still think there's a lot of room for him to grow and mistakes for him to grow out of. But in general, that's what you're looking for. This is what you're looking for in a rookie quarterback.
Well, I think we've gotten the middling Drake May, quite honestly. I don't think we've had the truly elite performance. I also don't think we've had the, oh boy, is he a rookie today kind of performance where you have three picks or, you know, just looking sort of overwhelmed by the situation.
You get both of those in all of his games, though. You know,
oh, yeah,
like over the course of a game, you'll see, oh my God, kind of throws, and what is this guy doing kind of throws, but it's never all one or all the other. It's like a good,
and I think that's good, right?
It is, right?
Like,
yeah.
If you can sprinkle those in throughout as he learns and as he takes advantage of opportunities, but also, oop, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that again if I get that. If you can do that in these performances that are, you know, 270 yards, a touchdown, an interception, a fumble, like kind of spreading it out, that gives your team a chance to win, right? That keeps you more in ball games rather than one of those days where it's just like, if he's bad, they're bad, and it just gets away from him. And I thought early on he looked as calm as he's looked when he, now it helps when you are being efficient and guys are getting open and you're hitting them in stride, but I don't think he ran the ball. Did he run the ball at all in the first half? Not in the first quarter.
He was
very much a pocket passer.
He had three rushes in the whole game.
Right. And those were effective and productive. And I thought, you know, heady, but he had another one of those that I love where he steps up. And I think in the first or second start, he's off, he's running.
Yep.
This time, you know, another one like Henry last week, he steps up and then that little flick. And those are the smart plays that, A, will move chains, like take the yardage that's available, but also will limit the hits on him. Because if you're stepping up and running in the middle of the field, you're getting hit. If you're running on the edges, out of bounds, like you kind of control it, the guys are coming from one direction. So I thought he looked as calm running the offense early in that game as he has at any point. And I'll give Alex Van Pelt credit. I thought they mixed it up pretty well early. There was some run, pass, and again, guys were getting open, so that helps keep the efficiency of the offense moving. But and that might have been as good as this offense has looked in years, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Against a team that, I have to be honest, I thought their defensive front might own the day, so it probably starts with the offensive line. They had the strip sack on the game I would run games nonstop if I was a defensive coordinator, because they continue to have issues in, you know, whatever their calls are and their techniques and passing guys off and switching. Mm-hmm. They get confused a lot. But I thought the offensive line was competitive for who they are in a matchup that I think very much favored the other team.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line was a lot better than the defensive line. The defensive line got manhandled in
the
that game.
The defense stunk.
And we have a lot to say about the defense, which we'll certainly get to. May had an interesting quote after the game. They asked him about how he's getting better each week, and he talked about scrambling to be a passer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting because he's good at scrambling. I mean, we talked about it. He's got the most, or at a time, there was a time when he had the most yards rushing out of any quarterback in the league since he started, since he got his first start. And in this game, he was moving around, but it was behind the line of scrimmage. He was trying to let his receivers get open a little bit longer, to mixed results. I think that some of these guys, you can let them run around all day. They're not going to get open. It's just the way it is. But, yeah, he did talk about that. He mentioned it. I wouldn't be shocked if that was something that they emphasized. I also was a little surprised in the short yardage situations. You know, I know they said 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, Mayo was like, yeah, I know, he just came out of concussion protocol. We're not going to do any designed runs. Okay, well, it's been a couple weeks now. That's an effective thing and an effective part of his game. And I'm not saying do it every down or anything like that, but catch him off guard, you know, mm-hmm. go around, like bootleg and then just take off. Like, it seems to me that they are going out of their way to sort of squash that and take it away and not have it be something that's going to be part of the offense. And just in general, I don't like giving the other team that kind of information. Like, he's not going to run. Don't worry about it. He already said that they're not going to do any design runs for him. We don't have to worry about this, even though he's a weapon in that regard.
So I agree with you. Like, for example, fourth and goal from the two. We saw it in the preseason. He ran the zone read, and he walked in and finger rolled the touchdown.
I was thinking, like, that was what was going to happen.
Legit opportunity.
I was sitting there going, he's going to run this one in.
And I also think, adjust as the game goes on. Yeah, if he scrambles five times in the first quarter, say, okay, maybe today's not a day where we're going to have designed runs. But if he plays a clean first quarter, he's not running.
Right.
He's running well. He's got a couple runs, but they're just out of bounds after the marker. To me, that's where I think you open that up. So I thought yesterday was interesting. Drake May played well. And the two guys that he's most compared to, Josh Allen mm-hmm. and Justin Herbert. Josh Allen won a game on a 25-yard amazing touchdown run.
That was ridiculous.
And then I watched Sunday Night Football.
Lost some money on that.
And Justin Herbert was running as well as maybe I've ever seen Justin Herbert run. And after one of those, so he ran a bunch of times. He was over 50 yards rushing like in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
After one of those, they then call a zone read. He keeps it. He gets blown up, admittedly, so it didn't end up being a great call. But I'm like, wait, he's like a $250 million quarterback who's running all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting hit, and he can have his own read. He can have designed runs as part of his game. So I think they need to open up that discussion. I agreed with the tenor of the plan to not – when he was running – remember there were times it was like 8-9 scrambles, and it's like, okay, I don't know that I need to add runs and all of a sudden get him up to 12 carries for whatever. But a day like yesterday when he's in the pocket, the line's doing a pretty good job, he's making good decisions, and you get in short yardage situations, why not? It's a weapon. Utilize it. And I'm guessing he'd want to. He's a competitor. He's an athlete. I think he likes being able to run and show off different mm-hmm. parts of his game. So,
yeah, and it's worked for him this year.
Absolutely.
It's
yesterday was the first time legitimately it hindered them to not run him.
I thought scrambling yesterday, to be a passer.
Yeah, but it's also okay to be running to be a runner kind of thing.
Like,
that's why you have these quarterbacks. That's why you have Josh Allen. That's why you have Justin Herbert. Okay, we don't have Jacoby Brissett anymore, right? Jacoby Brissett has limitations. I'm not looking for designed runs. But when you have a weapon, you have to use it. It's a little bit like the Marcus Jones thing. I love that they brought him to offense yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy that's a weapon. You need as many weapons and playmakers as possible. Utilize every resource you have as a football team, because I think we all agree you have limited resources.
Yep.
You got to be smart with what you have. So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him be a more designed runner yesterday at times, especially the perfect opportunity was the fourth and two.
Yep.
We've seen it before. And even if it fails, you've planted a seed. Now you have the defense at least prepping for that game.
Needing to respect it at the very least,
absolutely.
Right? Yes, and that can open up other stuff.
Absolutely.
Again, I mean, listen, no one needs to explain to anybody how to call offense here or anything, but I just think it's weird to take away any element of your offense,
when you're
especially
limited.
When it's something that works.
And when
the rest of your
limited.
Offense blows. Yeah,
like
that's the problem.
Ramondre Stevenson, I mean, you're putting it a little harshly, but Ramondre Stevenson's rushing for 3.7 yards per carry yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have a running back who is like Saquon or Henry having this career year, and then weapons that are like, well, that guy's got 10 touchdowns, and that guy's got to, like, we don't need to rush the quarterback. No, you're limited with what you can do offensively, even on a good day. Yesterday was a good day.
Yep.
And you're limited.
I think you need to open up all your options.
Yep, I agree with that. I thought in the beginning of the game, we already sort of mentioned this, but he had a couple of throws that were breathtaking. That jump pass to Henry was ridiculous. Like, he had a couple of throws where it didn't even look like he was square to get the ball out. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're picking up a first down. That little sidearm
throw. Verse was pressuring him, and he just kind of went around Verse, and it led to one of those, like, Mahomes gets credit for every single one of those throws ever, even though he's not the only quarterback that's ever thrown sidearm or different angles. But it turned into one of those baseball discussions and these it's so fun to watch. And, again, sometimes I look at those and I go, ooh, the guy freaked out. That, to me, just looked like, this is how I play. You know, like, very cool, calm, collected. He assesses the situation.
Not like he just did a magic trick or something.
No.
Like, that's just how I
Like, you know, oh, the best opportunity here isn't to go over the top and try to beat the guy. Then it'll get batted. I tried that before. It didn't work out. Oh, yeah, he seems like if I just go like this, it'll be fine. Like, I'm turning a double play up the middle. And that's where I think you're seeing the growth and the evolution of just, I think he's realized the speed of the game, the style of the game isn't too much for him. And that's like a big first step. Like, yeah, I can compete. None of this is weird to me. I'm just being an athlete, and I think that's huge.
Yep, absolutely. Drake May walking in here right now as we get ready to sit down and talk with him. This has been an interesting season so far in general, I think, for this team. With a lot of questions in various aspects and various things, but one thing that everybody agrees on, including us and national people and everything else, is that you, Drake, may have been a bright spot on this offense and someone that, if you're a Patriots fan, everybody should be very excited about, as Drake May joins us right now. Are you hearing all of the, I don't even want to call it criticism because it's not criticism, are you hearing all this love that you're getting? Like, is this something you're aware of? Because everybody, Gronkowski, Mark Sanchez on the broadcast, everyone who talks about you is just glowing terms these days. Is that, that must be nice, right?
Yeah, I try not to read into much of that. I think, you know, probably the biggest time I notice is, you know, the fan base on Sundays in the games. I think they've been great. You know, even at away games, I feel like a lot of past fans have showed out. So I think I can, you know, we try to help them out and put some wins in the win column. I think that's the biggest thing I'm, you know, we need to do a better job of. But I think we're in some games and, you know, a few plays away from having some more dubs in the win column.
But if we make you aware of it, if you haven't heard some of it, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, my mom sent something or my brother sent something, although with your brothers it would probably be the other way. They're probably making fun of you. Does that type of positive reinforcement, does it drive you to be better? Like, how do you take positive reinforcement?
You know, I appreciate it. I think it's especially some of the, you know, the media guys, or you said Gronk said something, like, you know, next time I see Gronk or hopefully meet him, you know, sometime, I'll just, you know, thank him and appreciate it. I think, you know, more of a don't take too high when, you know, you feel like you're playing well, and don't get too low when things aren't going your way. So, you know, it's kind of a tough battle because, you know, I do feel like I'm, you know, making some plays and we're moving the ball offensively, but I don't think it's turning into wins, so I think we need to figure that part out. But at the same time, I think we got those guys and in that room, a lot of different guys making plays, and I think we're just, you know, a few plays away, and it's a bummer really to, you know, how the, you know, really the end of the game has ended up, because I feel like, you know, with chance with the ball in my hands, that's what I want, and I want the ball to be in my hands, a chance to win it, and just got to, you know, come up on the right side of it.
All right, don't worry. We'll get to the end of the game. But first, Drake May is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next-day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. All right, you brought it up, so I feel like it's fair game now, of course, to talk about. That throw at the end of the game, Douglas didn't turn around. I heard you talking about it afterwards, what you saw there, and a miscommunication is how that was sort of classified. You seem to have a pretty good rapport and a pretty good relationship with your wide receivers. They all speak very highly of you. How do you get these kind of miscommunications sort of out of the huddle and execute a little bit better on those type of plays at the end of games?
Well, yeah, kind of like I said, post game, just talking through more scenarios throughout the week and you know, certain plays, and I think it's a tough situation. You know, you got to feel like you got to make a big play at the end, so. Just be on the same page with our guys, and, you know, I don't think, you know, I think me and Pop were, I think we were seeing the same thing, just kind of on different, you know, kind of route yardage was kind of, you know, what he was thinking and what I was thinking. So, like I said, just talking through more.
Did you guys talk about the play afterwards? Did you sort of get on the?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but me and Pop, you know, we're open books. You know, I don't know if y'all ever talked to Pop, but he's a bunch of energy and he's always got something to say. And no, nothing, no harm or no, you know, bad vibes between either of us. You know, I think he's a great player, made a lot of great plays, and I think y'all saw that.
This is going to sound probably harsh and maybe a little dictator-like, but do the receivers have to see it
the way you see it? Like, is that the solution? Like, everybody needs to see it through your eyes?
I try not to be that way. You know, I think that, you know, sometimes as a quarterback, I think that's kind of the tendency. Hey, you see it, you know, the way Drake's seeing it. But I try to, you know, see, hey, they may want to route, you know, this way against this coverage a certain way. I try to let them kind of play their way into, you know, some strengths. I don't think that play was an example of, you know, of that. I think just, you know, trying to be an open book. And, hey, if they want to this run this route this way versus man coverage versus zone, I'm all for it, just, you know, getting guys open.
The way the game started, your first couple of drives, you had a couple of plays we were just talking about that were pretty cool to watch on TV. I don't know if they feel the same way when you're out there actually doing them, but the jump pass, that sort of sidearm throw you had there and things like that, that all seems to come very naturally to you. That's not something that seems like you're going out of your way to try and do for the cameras or anything like that. How did you sort of develop those types of throws?
I think just playing different sports growing up. You know, I played baseball and played a lot of different sports growing up, so just different arm angles and trying different stuff out and having older brothers that, you know, did some cool things in sports, you know, that I saw, hey, let me try that, or hey, let me, you know, playing shortstop, you know, flick it to second base for a double play or something like that. So just playing different sports growing up and just playing ball out there.
Early on, you were very accurate, and it seemed like every throw was kind of right where the receiver needed it. Are you growing in that area? Because I know that was some people had criticisms about, you know, short throw accuracy, different things. Even you, I think, mentioned one of our first interviews, like, oh, I missed pop over the middle. I was just off on that. Has that accuracy, do you feel like, improved as you've played more? Or was yesterday a good day? Are there days where it's just there and some days it's not? How's that work?
I feel like I've been, you know, pretty accurate pretty much, you know, my whole career. I think, you know, going back to college, not, you know, I have a short career here in the NFL, but I think, you know, getting, you know, used to pop over the middle is just something that you haven't played with him much, haven't got many reps with him over the middle in a real game and with live bullets. So, you know, I feel like I got a good rapport with those guys and where they're going to be at. And just, I think the big thing we talked about in the quarterback room is ball placement. I think I can lead to yards after catch. So I think we showcased that well on Sunday.
What thing or what aspect of your game do you think has gotten better over these 4 weeks? And what do you think you still need to work on the most?
Gotten better of, I think, just taking what defense gives me. I think I always need the home run. I think I've done a good job of that. We had some plays, like on Sunday, where, hey, we're splitting out a bubble. We're splitting out little things, a little, you know, spot route at 5 yards that are turning into big plays. So just taking what defense gives me and not kind of trying to, you know, hunt up, you know, the deep shot or the big play or the scramble play every time. And then just handling situations better. I think, you know, third down, we ended up kicking a field goal down there in the red zone. They brought cover zero and maybe had pop on a shallow to get in the score. And handling kind of the short yardage runs of, you know, maybe pump up the guys some more to try to, you know, get a first down. We got some big short yardage runs that we didn't end up capitalizing on. So a little situational football that I think can help us.
Speaking of short yardage runs, we were actually having a discussion before you came in. There's been this talking point like no designed runs and, you know, you were coming off a concussion and you've been scrambling a lot, doing different things. Do you think there are opportunities for you to have designed runs moving forward this season, moving forward whenever in the future?
Like on 4th and 2, for example.
Like 4th and goal from the 2.
I do think there's a spot for that. You know, I feel like I'm a, you know, big kid, big athletic kid that I ran for, you know, a bunch of yards in college, and I've been making some plays with my feet here in the NFL. So I think there's definitely a time and spot, a place for it. But, you know, I think what we've been doing and giving the ball to Mondre is not always a bad option. Mondre's, you know, a lot better runner than I am.
All right. Well, you probably heard about this over the course of the week. It was a big story that the team owners had been calling around looking for assistance, maybe some help on bringing you along and sort of your development from maybe outside the organization. Is that something that you took to heart? Is that something you think is necessary? And how do you feel the team has been sort of developing you so far early on? It's obviously early in your career, as you mentioned, but how do you sort of see that going so far? And would you welcome outside help?
Yeah, I haven't heard really much about that. And quite honestly, I haven't even heard any of that. I think, you know, the guys in the room and, you know, AVP and TC are doing, you know, a great job. I feel like I'm prepared. I feel like I'm playing on time and, you know, making plays. I think there's little situational things that just come with, you know, getting the experience and being a 22-year-old rookie in the NFL. So I think what we got, you know, in that offense and those players in there, I think we're making plays. And I don't really think you're not too much to say about that.
Along those lines, one of the things you've been really consistent with is post-game, somebody will ask you, oh, 4th and 2, field goal, punt, whatever, 2-point conversion, and you have been very supportive of your coaches. If coaches say it, we go along with it. Where did that mentality come from? You seem like a good soldier. I mean, is that just the way you've always been growing up? If coach says it, I do it? Because we've had discussions around here. Even Coach Mayo said a lot of modern players are why guys.
Like, you can't just tell them what to do. Sometimes they'll ask why, and then you have to explain it. You don't seem like a why guy. You seem like a yes coach.
I think at this point, yeah, I think just the way I grew up with my parents and how they kind of handled the household and raised us, just being a, hey, if my parents tell us to do it, you know, that's a no. It's a no-brainer. You know, what they ask of us, and being humble and saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, little things like that, kind of credit to my parents, and being a good soldier, or kind of not having reason also comes along with being a rookie quarterback and not having too much. But I think there is times where, hey, if I want to voice opinion of going for it, I think down the road that I think they would respect that and listen.
After your guys' last loss, you obviously had the big speech where you addressed the team, and a lot of people had a lot of positive things to say about that. You guys end up winning a game. Is this the type of game that we just saw on Sunday that prompts another speech from you? Is that something you're going to be doing for the rest of the year? How's that? How do you sort of square that up as a leader on the team?
Yeah, I don't think you've got to kind of pick the dates and pick them ahead of time. Think of it, if it's something needed to be said, and you say it. So I don't think it's something where, hey, I need to do something next, this Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's just something that kind of comes to mind and is based off how we practice.
Not to bring up another painful play, but we should probably ask about the fumble. Looked like you were kind of ready to throw and then kind of brought it back down, and then they ran a game up front. They were able to get there. What were you seeing, the opportunity to get rid of the ball as opposed to not get rid of it? Just talk us through what happened there.
Yeah, I could think just got to get it out, third down, and if it happens to be incomplete, then it's incomplete and we punt it away. I think can't take a sack, especially in our own territory, and give the defense in that spot. So Booty had a stop route, and he beat the guy off the release so bad he was ahead of him. So just got to either throw it over his head or give him a chance. I think he still ended up beating him.
Got the Miami Dolphins coming up here. It's a team that you guys have seen already. Not a game that you played in, but after seeing them and sort of seeing what they do from the sideline, is that useful for you? I mean, it's the second time seeing them. It's a division game. Do you take into account things you saw Jacoby doing out there in the first game, and how do you incorporate that into your game plan?
Yeah, I think you go back and watch the first game and see what they did against us and how they try to exploit us defensively, and also get a great chance to see how our players played against their players, kind of personnel-wise, how they guarded our receivers or tackled our guys in space. So you can see a lot of different things with, playing an opponent, twice in 1 year.
How are your mom's hands? You brought up that throw to low that she could.
Yeah, my mom's a good athlete. Yeah, she's got good hands. So I'm sure she probably would have caught
it. Is she? Is she a legit athlete?
Yeah, she's a good athlete, so she probably would have one-handed it.
All right, the quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes to us from Doug in Alston, who asked Drake, who was your favorite quarterback to watch growing up?
Ooh, I grew up in Charlotte, and I love the Panthers, so Cam Newton was right in my kind of younger age, and I was a big fan of Cam Newton, so I probably have to say Cam, and always obviously respected the guys who won, so guys like Peyton and Brady kind of in those matchups. Growing up was kind of the heyday of me in elementary school and middle school. So my favorite player going to see was Cam, and then those guys that won and played in big-time games.
Cam is someone you've been compared to, by the way. I mean, big, tall quarterback, big arm, mobile, that type of thing. Did you model your game after him growing up at all?
That's true. I'd hope somebody would say that, the way I run the football, but I think Cam had some great years in Carolina and really put the Panthers on the map.
Along those lines, did you get a chance to cross paths with Matthew Stafford yesterday? He's a guy that's been doing it for a long time.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of Stafford, and obviously hate how well he threw it against us on Sunday. He makes some nice throws, so told him I was a big fan, and obviously grew up watching him play on Thanksgiving.
He was one of those guys that was at the forefront, it feels like, of the arm angles and the off platform. I know a lot of people credit Mahomes with that, but I think Stafford was doing that for a long time, too.
Yeah, I think he's probably doing it before. Stafford and doing the no looks and some of that. So, special talent. It was fun to watch him on the sideline, sadly. But I think just watching him on Sundays in general is pretty cool.
Any of your coaches ever give you a hard time over those? I know Mahomes is very – he said Andy Reid actually pushes him to test stuff, try stuff, underhand, whatever, behind the back. Have you had any bad experiences with no look or arm angles where any of your coaches were like, yeah, don't do that again?
Knock on wood, not really.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jinx you.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's early in the season.
I definitely think there's some different stuff in my bag that hasn't been shown yet.
Oh, I like the teaser.
All right, I like that too.
Left-handed, right. Behind the back, anything that crazy? We'll see.
Nah, I don't know, but we'll see. It just happens. So,
if you do throw a behind-the-back touchdown pass, can you say, hey, that was for you guys on WEEI?
Yeah. WEEI, that's for you.
We'd appreciate that. All right, that's Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, there goes Drake May, who, according to just about everybody, had his best game of the season so far on Sunday in a loss. The Rams, 28-22 winners over the Patriots. May, 30 of 40 for 282 yards, two touchdowns, a pick, and a QB rating of 100.2. We're going to take a quick break here. Jonathan Jones is going to be joining the show a little bit later on. In the meantime, here's some words from our sponsors. We'll be right back. That was Jerod Mayo this morning talking with the Greg Hill Show, denying the reports that the Crabs have been calling around. We had Drake May not deny it, but say that he's not really paying attention to it or that he never heard about it, which, I mean, I imagine he probably heard about it. But I thought he answered that about how you'd expect. I thought, in general, it was something that should be asked, but he wasn't going to give you much there, and he didn't. And I think that, in general, this is the type of story or report. It wasn't really a story, but a report that was not just Breer. I mean, it was Breer last weekend. Curran confirmed it with us.
Absolutely.
On Wednesday. So it's not just one source saying it. And I didn't expect there to be like a bunch of follow-ups and like, you know, grilling Mayo about it or anything. But it wasn't just one report. It was a couple. And to say that, no, it's false, because look, Drake May's progressing really good, right, guys? Like, aren't we doing a good job? Like, I just thought it was that doesn't necessarily answer the question. Like, yeah, we think he's doing a good job. It's not about what we think, and it's not about what you think, and it's not about what Hillman and Wiggy and Courtney and Chris Curtis or you and I think. It's about what the Crafts think. And if they think that you need to bring in some additional help or additional voices to guide them along, that's all that matters. I mean, that's it. And that is something that I haven't heard the Crafts come out and deny. I haven't heard Jonathan or Glazer or Robert or anybody come out and say, no, we're not doing that. So interesting kind of juxtaposition there.
So two things for me. I trust Tom Curran. I've battled with him over the years over certain things, but I trust his sources. I think he is informed. And in this situation, I think he's informed on the organizational level, and I think he's informed at the head coach's level. I think there's good working relationships there between Curran and all those groups. I'm not saying I know where his sources are. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I trust him. Because we've had Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, we're now, 10 weeks into these interviews with him during the season. He has said, I haven't had anybody tell me that. I'm not sure. I should probably ask about that, right? He didn't hesitate.
Nope.
It is happening.
So they're doing that, yeah.
Fact. Mm-hmm. Not opinion. Fact. It is happening. I believe, Tom Curran, that it's happening. Now, the next step is Jerod's denial. Ain't just a river in Egypt kind of thing. Two parts to that. Just because someone told him it didn't happen doesn't mean it didn't happen, did it? People lie to coworkers, subordinates all the time.
Sure.
Kraft may have said never happened. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, Jerod. They told you it didn't happen, okay? Another whole thing here is
He didn't say they told me it never happened.
No, but where...
He just said it's false.
Right, but where's he getting that from? Hmm. How could he know that unless he asked them? And he said, we have good lines of communication. There was a follow-up, but, do you talk to him? Whatever. Good lines of communication. So Andy put that together in his head. You can push back if you want. The Crafts told him it didn't happen. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Lies happen in this world all the time.
Sure.
Next aspect of it is he really fixated on... Well, everybody thinks May is playing pretty well and developing pretty well. Sure, through six starts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was all in on Daniels. Jaden Daniels is falling back to the pack.
Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They learned the lesson firsthand. The jump from year one to year two can be a challenging one. So it's okay to say Alex Van Pelt has done a great job or a good job or however you want to describe it through now. Doesn't mean we're done here. Doesn't mean he's a finished product. Doesn't mean you couldn't do a better job moving forward. Doesn't mean you couldn't help Alex Van Pelt. I thought Alex Van Pelt pushed back last week, too. We talked about that
on
Friday.
Yeah.
The plus-plus footwork and all the things he's accomplished with Drake and all those things.
He said, I don't need any help. He didn't say it's not happening. He said, I don't need help developing.
Correct.
Right, yeah.
And right now, I would say, maybe he doesn't need any help. Maybe he's done a good job. But again, it's not a finished product. The season hasn't ended. The month hasn't even ended.
Nope.
And year two and the jump. And, what is Bill Belichick's famous phrase? Biggest jump for any player is from year one to year two.
Mm-hmm.
Unless player falls apart like Mac Jones from year one to year two. So there's plenty of reason to at least wonder why the Crafts would look around. And it's actually fine to me. The biggest issue is the report. Mm. I think that's why everybody's so pissy. It got out there. Breer found out. Curran found out. Everybody's talking about it. Ted Johnson's immediate reaction on air with Breer was like, the thing that bothers me is we're talking about this.
Right.
If you're doing these types of things, you can't let it get out. And it got out.
Yep.
And that's the problem, because then it leads to all this crap with Mayo and Van Pelt and May, and everybody's asked about it. If you're going to do those types of things, you got to be good at it. And they effed up and found out.
Yeah, agreed. I also think that not one of these people who were asked about it, who may be, you know, one of the voices that's currently bringing him along, was like, yeah, we welcome all the additional help. We whatever the boss thinks we should do, that's, you know, right. We agree with that. If they think that, you know, having more people in the room to try and help him along is the way to go, then that's fine with us, and we're happy to do it. No, you didn't get any of that. You got, this is false. This isn't true. We don't need help. We don't need anything. Very defensive, very kind of defiant, and you never know. I mean, maybe the Crafts hear that, and they think, all right, we'll leave it to them for now.
Sure.
Which, listen, I mean, if we're talking about just bringing in a bunch of cooks into the kitchen, I don't necessarily think that's a great idea. You got cooks in the kitchen right now. You got a bunch of people around. You got a full coaching staff. Like, you don't need a bunch of extra people now. There's a power struggle and who reports to who and who gets final say on this, that, whatever. Like, I'm not necessarily sure that's a great plan. And if that's something that they're dead set on, no, we got to have more voices. We got to have more of that. I'm not sure that's a great idea.
And I do believe it happened. Now, we may be talking about it on a grander scale than it happened.
Right.
These are owners, you know, Robert, Jonathan. They have friends who are owners. They have friends that have been in football for a long time. Friends that haven't been in football. Mm-hmm. We brought up Josh McDaniels.
Right.
It's okay if they just had a conversation, right? They may not have any intention right now of hiring somebody. Just wondering. Isn't that just information gathering? Mm-hmm. Now, it's been painted a certain way, and I think the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, and it puts a little bit of pressure, but isn't everybody always trying to get better? Aren't you always trying to see if there's a better plan or an additional resource out there, especially in this day and age where it feels like the margins are where people win? You always hear these people about, like, baseball, you know, Billy Beans and different things, like market inequities and margins and mm-hmm. winning those areas. So do I think this is a big deal other than it got out there? No. I think they should be doing their due diligence, and I think that's sort of what Tom said when we talked to him last week, was they're absolutely doing it, and why wouldn't they? It's their due diligence. The issue is, by it getting out there, you've put pressure on people and maybe created a little annoyance. Are they a little perturbed?
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Oh, what? We're not doing a good job? What, right. You don't like the way this quarterback's progressing? You have a problem with the way we're doing this? Oh, okay. Nice to know that. The other thing is, so let's say the Crafts, you know, they're calling around and they get some suggestions from whoever it is that they're talking to. Let's just say it's Bill Parcells and Pete Carroll and Josh McDaniels, right? Let's just say he's calling those three guys, and those three guys all say the same thing. If you really want to bring a young quarterback along, you got to do this. And that's something that they're not doing right now. So do the Crafts come down to Van Pelt's office and Mayo's office and say, hey, guys, we got to start doing this with Drake May? And that's that final say, and that's it, and you got to do it, otherwise there's going to be consequences. Like, what, you know, like, what's the next step after that? Well, unless they want to hire somebody.
For me personally, all that comes in the off season. Like, when you do, like, debriefs and, like, sort of those postpartum interviews and that whole thing when the season ends, you can bring that up. You know, for example, so we have an order of operations just on the offense where Evan Rothstein exists, right?
Yep.
So he advises May, who then has a decision that goes down to Alex Van Pelt. Is that okay? They seem okay with that structure.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the Crafts present some information? Hey, just an FYI, we pulled three former head coaches, you know, two of them Hall of Famers, and they were just saying one opportunity where we might take this in a slightly different direction is with X. And then it's up to Gerard if he wants to. Now, if you put it as a mandate, mm-hmm. oh, by the way, wanted to let you know, that guy we in that office over there, we hired him to oversee you and this. Now you have a total separate issue. But if you're having 3-hour, 4-hour, 5-hour meetings after the season, what went well, what went poorly, what needs to go well moving forward, and you bring up ideas as the owner, I certainly think that's their right.
Yeah.
And I would have no problem with it if I were Gerard Mayo. This I'd have a problem with. The fact that I'm in it up to my neck in the middle of a season, and this is a story that I even have to talk about, that it got out there, again, that's the problem. Not what you did, but you didn't do it well. You didn't do it the right way.
Yeah. The defense yesterday, not their finest hour. A tough day for Gerard Mayo, a tough day for DeMarcus Covington, and a tough day for a bunch of guys playing on the field as well. We'll get into what went wrong and what the Rams were able to exploit with their high-powered offense against this team right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.